Pod Culture, episode 314, Wormhole of Suck, part B, for Tuesday, March 20th, 2012. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture. Adjust that iPod. We're back with a part B of Pod Culture. I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
I'm Christina.
I'm Justin.
Yes, we are Adamless. He is off on special assignment. For some reason, we just can't seem to get Glenn and Adam in the same room at the same time. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you guys are having a fight. What?
It's like the Defenders, and you can't have Silver Surfer and the Hulk and Doctor Strange in the same spot, same time, or the Universal End or something like that.
You get that funny glove with all the little sparkly gems on it.
I was just going to say, like, you know, alternate universes that, you know, one's in one universe, one's in the orange universe, and one's in the blue universe.
Oh my God, I've gotten in a car accident and died.
Right, he can't be on the show with both of them at
exactly.
the same time.
Or something like that. I just messed that up. But
no, I know what you meant.
It's an open.
Watch Awake.
That's all right.
Watch Awake, you'll get it.
So we've got all kinds of stuff. We've got some TV and DVD stuff.
Of course. No.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Not us.
No, who us? No, we don't watch any TV at all. All we do is sit at home and eat celery and read books.
I like celery and
eat
books.
Celery?
Who the hell eats celery? Too damn stringy.
I like celery. What's wrong with celery?
What's
with
right
peanut
with
butter and raisins on it, it's fantastic.
Raisins.
Yeah.
Raisins are only good if there's a lot of chocolate.
You never had ants on a log?
Ants on a log. There's your episode title.
Well,
you know, you very well may be
you
right.
You put the peanut butter in the middle and then you put the raisins on top.
I think on that note, it's time to start the show. Christina is just getting way too weird.
Why is it weird? It's food.
And just to prove that geek cuisines aren't always bad for you, or maybe this one is, Christina, you have found something that might actually be somewhat nutritious.
I did. I found these at Target, but if you can go on the website and find out where they are in your area. It's called Who Knew? Who and You? Who Knew? Nutrition-Rich Cookies. And I chose the kind of chocolate sandwich cookies that kind of resemble Oreos. But we were in Target, and a lady was in the cookie aisle, and she was getting these down off the shelf. And she said, oh, I wish they had the chocolate chip ones. Those are awesome. I said, really? And she said, yeah, these are really good. And I'm reading the package, and there's, in a serving of three cookies, there's as much fiber as a bowl of oatmeal. As much calcium and vitamin D as an 8-ounce glass of milk. As much vitamin C as a cup of blueberries.
Wow.
There's no trans fat, no hydrogenated oil, and no high fructose corn syrup. I mean, and it's, let's see. As much iron as a cup of spinach. As much vitamin E as two cups of carrot juice. As much vitamin B12 as a cup of cottage cheese and fruit. As much vitamin A as an 8-ounce glass of tomato juice. Exactly. Excellent source of calcium.
Pumpkin juice.
20 essential vitamins and minerals. There, in three cookies, there's 150 calories and 24 carbs and 3 grams of fiber.
Wow.
So you satisfy
packed
your
a lot into a cookie.
So you satisfy your sweet tooth and be almost healthy.
Exactly. I don't feel guilty eating these.
All right. Let's see what we got here.
They're not Oreos. But they're tasty nonetheless.
No, they're not Oreos, but they're not bad.
They're a good generic Oreo kind of cookie.
And they have chocolate chip flavored and they have vanilla cream flavored and If you go to Who Knew, whonu.com, you can see all the different kinds of cookies they have and where they sell them.
Hmm. There is a weird kick to the end, but, to them okay. at the end.
If you look at the ingredients, sugar,
yeah,
wheat flour, vegetable oil.
It's weird. It's not bad.
Cocoa, corn syrup, dextrose, yellow corn flour, baking soda, soy lecithin, natural and artificial flavors, salt, and monoglycerides. I mean, there's not really anything scary.
There's just a weird kick at the end.
Yeah, I'm getting it.
I can't figure out what it is, though.
Yeah. But overall, not bad.
If you've got kids and, you know, those school lunches, send them with these. Yeah.
Heck yes.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh. Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, give them, find them.
Dunk them in a milk or whatever.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You have all your calcium for the day.
Wow.
Chop them up in some vanilla ice cream.
That's my plan. With my blender.
Mm-hmm. All right, and we will be back with more Pod Culture right after we eat some more cookies.
A few more.
Cookies are good. Please do.
Do you want to come with me? Because if you do, then I should warn you. You're going to hear all sorts of things.
A very informal roundtable discussion.
Fans from the past.
I'll be the old classic series curmudgeon fan.
Australians from the future.
So the Australian is actually in Australia?
A guy from Kentucky.
I am not from Kentucky.
It won't be short, it won't be work safe, and it won't be on topic.
We're too lazy to bleep.
But I'll tell you what it will be.
It's not going to be your typical Doctor Who podcast.
The trip of a lifetime.
Because Daleks are still cuddly.
Everybody needs
pretty much
hooked
from
I did
run.
Convince someone to knit a 14-foot scarf.
If ever depressing. Beat Mom Gatiss, I
yeah,
give him a hug.
Since when does the master wear
I
a hoodie?
They want you to think it's a doctor, and then it's wrong.
All the continuity bets are off.
But back to Doctor Who.
The Type 40 Podcast. Find us on iTunes or at www.thetype40podcast.com.
Oh, let's kick it back on the couch and do a little TV and DVD talk because, shows are ending, shows are starting up again, shows are getting canceled. Yes, Fox has struck again. Mm. So let's kick off with the big one, Terra Nova.
Yeah, I'm sad about that.
R.I.P.
There's still a glimmer of hope. That someone else may pick up.
I don't see why Netflix? They shouldn't.
Netflix has been a rumor.
If they can cheapen it, not cheapen it, but if they can cut a few corners, not like Battlestar Galactica, but if they can cut a few corners, I don't see why sci-fi would. I mean, it's right up sci-fi's alley.
Yeah.
You would think.
I mean, they're already using Nerf guns and wearing.
right! Exactly!
Wearing, like, skateboarder armor and stuff.
But I told Brad, but that would make all the other sci-fi stuff look even worse. Because their CGI is pretty good. So that would make the sci-fi stuff look even worse.
Oh, yeah, especially Sanctuary.
Yeah.
Gotten bad?
Sanctuary is. The show is good.
Uh huh.
Their CGI is
a bit dodgy.
Oh, especially, like, if they tried to do. An outdoor scene that's very obviously done on a soundstage. Really bad.
I still love it, though. I love every second of it.
It's part of the charm of the show. Really.
Oh, yeah. It's like Doctor Who. It's, you know, the old stuff. Yeah, exactly. It's part of the charm. But I really started to get into Terra Nova. Mm-hmm. I mean, there aren't many kid actors that I can stand. I mean, like, little kid actors. Mm-hmm. But Zoe was so adorable. I love this
smuggle out the dinosaur turtle.
I mean, I loved her. She was great. And I'm going to miss them.
It wasn't great TV, you know.
It was entertaining.
It was good entertainment. And, you know, we don't have kids. But it was also one of those shows that a family could watch.
Right.
Because, you know, it is about this family. Mm-hmm. You know, there might have been a little bit. But if you have a, you know, 7-8-year-old kid, something like that, it would be a good show to watch, especially with the fact that they were playing with Nerf guns.
Well, I
endlessly
mean,
amusing.
The fact that the issues that the kids were having are issues that kids have no matter what time period they're in. I mean, they don't want to do their homework. They want to go out with boys. They want to sneak off and do whatever they shouldn't be doing. So, I mean, it was relevant to families, no matter future, past, whatever era they're supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they kind of wrapped up on a good note.
But the there was cliffhangeriness.
Yeah, there was. It was a good ending things up, but leaving it open for more stuff as well.
I was excited about that more stuff.
Yeah. So I hope someone picks it up, but really, they would have to do some serious retooling of the show just because.
But in the ending of the last season, I think they could have. That was a good opening to change the style of the CGI level. Like, who knows what kind of creatures or stuff they could have been finding with that new discovery at the end of the season.
Out in the Badlands.
Yeah, so you never know. It could have been less dinosaurs. It could be more supernatural kind of stuff. It could be cheaper stuff to do. This was a good opportunity for them to re-kind of tool their stuff.
You could always do like the old 50s movies where they just, all the action takes place off screen. Right. And just kind of point, oh, it's a T-Rex.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Shakespeare around it?
Right.
Yeah.
Or Lost. Just do smoke monsters.
Yeah.
I had seen 3 or 4 episodes. And I did like it. I couldn't really get into it.
See, I didn't really care so much for it at first, but the more the more I watched it, the more I liked the characters, the more I enjoyed the dynamic of they really are kind of on their own out here. You know, and it really is a new start. And it was it was an exciting idea.
And I like when they finally explained that this wasn't their Earth's past.
Right.
This is some alternate.
So they weren't going to step
timeline
on the butterflies and change.
You're really going to screw around with things.
Well, you might as well. I mean, they had. I mean, it was something that was kind of like a free license.
I think it all ties into Primeval, and the Rift was really one of the little things from Primeval, which kind of brings up a little bit of a news that I found out today. There's going to be more Primeval, but it's not. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of details about it. But it's a 13-episode series filming in Vancouver.
Of course.
Called Primeval New World. And it's like another team.
But I want
younger, sexier cast.
But how can you get sexier than Connor and Abby? They were adorable.
Well, the rumor is if there was another season of the regular series, they may not have been back anyway.
Damn it. They were
cute. So, I mean, Primeval, you know, getting with the dinosaurs and stuff. Hopefully they keep some of the charm. Hopefully they bring over some of the cast members.
Just
I mean,
a little bit just to tie it in.
What the hell is Dr. Bashir doing? You know, bring Alexander Siddig's ass back over.
Right.
Maybe you get a better wardrobe in Vancouver.
Seriously.
God, it was awful.
Bless him. He is a handsome man, but he was dressed very badly.
But it was cool seeing him on a British show.
And Ben Miller. I'm going to miss him so much, James. I'm going to miss him.
Yeah, because he was a douchebag when we first saw him.
He's great in everything, and I'm so going to miss him.
Let's see. Other TV news. Oh, it's probably be better on our other show. But Justin, how far have you gotten into watching Stargate?
I am about 8.5 seasons in.
Awesome.
So you've run in. Have they gotten the new cast members? Do you have Vala on the show?
No, not yet. The last thing I remember is after Donis Davies passed away, and they acknowledged that. That's around the last part that I actually remember.
Okay. Has Ben Browder showed up on the show?
No.
Okay. Because Ben Browder has been cast in another one of our favorite shows.
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Weird. I don't know either. Yeah.
I feel kind of funny about the whole thing.
I know nothing about the part or anything, but Ben Browder's cast in the next series of Doctor Who.
It makes me feel a little bit strange. It's like,
well, maybe he'll be a companion.
It'd be like if
unless he's
a
regenerated Jack or something, maybe.
Don't regenerate Jack. I want Jack.
Yeah. It's actually kind of like Brad working with me. Like, I'm not sure how I feel about my universes colliding. Makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
I don't work with you.
Like, it's okay.
I work 20 miles downtown.
No, but I can, like, you're on my IM list, and I see you on my, it's just weird. And it's just strange.
Like, so is Adam and Justin.
I know, but I won't live with them.
At least for a couple hours every week.
but, like, it's the idea of, like, you know, American / Canadian people being on a show that's quintessentially British. It feels funny in my stomach.
Well, what are Mark Shepherd?
But he's British. Like he's
which was funny because we've been watching Star Trek Voyager.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to admit that kind of this is how our brain works because, you know, traveling from Doctor Who, Mark Shepherd was on Doctor Who. This last episode of Voyager that we watched, Christina was going, dude looks familiar.
I know
and
him.
Of course, he's in alien makeup.
But eyes are eyes, no matter what you do to them.
It was Mark Shepherd's dad who played the older version of Mark Shepherd's character
on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And then when you realize it, my God, even with all the makeup, he still looks exactly the same.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like, you could still... And, like, it was funny because, like, his mannerisms and stuff. Like, wow, he really is an old badger. Like, he's old badger. Like, even the character he played, it was just cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was like, that was very cool. And
if I might segue just a weenie bit, another cool father-son pairing up.
Oh.
Hawaii 5-0. Scott, is it Scott Conn?
Yeah, Scott Conn, I think.
Who plays Dano is James Conn's son. Mm-hmm. And James Conn was on this last episode of Hawaii 5-0.
And they kind of set him up to be a possible recurring character.
And seeing them next to each other, it's like, holy crap, there's no denying. I mean, the resemblance is uncanny.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really cool.
And then their bickering back and forth was great.
And he's like, all right, old man. Like it was just cute.
That kind of stuff is kind of cool.
I know. I love that.
Yeah. What have you guys been watching, man? Because we've been running our mouth for a while.
Sorry.
All right, no.
Let's see. I'm about 4 episodes deep into Alcatraz.
Nice.
Okay. What
love
do you think?
Alcatraz.
And
it's
pretty cool. I mean, Carly was a little hesitant to start it, but I started watching it at work.
It's you, Carly.
Come on, man.
And she was glad that, you know, he's back on TV.
And he's the lead. I'm so excited for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's not a big fan of, I'm blanking on his name, Neil, Sam Neil.
Yeah, Neil.
He makes the show for me.
I know.
He's awesome.
I have such a crush on him. Always have.
She hasn't liked him since Jurassic Park.
See, that's when I fell in love with him.
I don't know what her deal is, but she's just not a big Sam Neill fan.
And you married her.
There were other factors.
There were other extenuating circumstances.
Why are you already getting the milk?
Oh, my God.
That's hate mail at podculture.com.
I can't stand you.
Hate mail at podculture.com.
Serious, Brad at podculture.net.
Oh, dot net, excuse me. I do like Alcatraz. I actually like it a lot. The first episode didn't catch me, but the little hook at the end of the second with the psychologist.
Oh, she's beautiful.
She is. And that whole thing, that's what hooked me, I think. Robert Forster on it is awesome. I love him on it, and he needs to be on it more. I see parallels with Fringe.
Yes.
Where both shows start out as a procedural.
Right.
And if Alcatraz gets past one season, I can see them dealing into the mythology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More about how they got to the future. The only part, though, one that bothers me about Alcatraz.
Her hair?
No.
Okay.
No. Something a little more trivial. Okay, so...
trivial than her hair?
Pretty much, yeah. So all of these... 63s, as they're called, jump forward into 2012. Mm-hmm. Yet there's no shell shock. There's no, oh my God, what is this thing called a cell phone? There's no, where are all, like all the things that I'm used to. They look at the new kind of technology and they're not shocked by it, which kind of gets to me. I know it's very small, it's very trivial, but
it's an interesting observation. I've not really even thought about that.
But we don't know what they go through before they're jumped. You know, how much time has gone in between,
exactly.
You know, are they, you know, taken from 1963, made a sleeper agent or messed around with,
maybe
done
we should,
whatever?
The general premise of the show is that when Alcatraz, quote, closed, the world was told that all the inmates were transferred off the island.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were transferred off the island, but they were just gone. The guards, the inmates, everybody just gone, disappeared. And now in 2012, all these worst criminals that were behind bars are now resurfacing in San Francisco.
And they're back up to their
old tricks. Again. Exactly. I mean, serial killers and psychotics and stuff who, you know, who were in prison 1 minute and now they're free, can do whatever they want, are not going to say, oh, well, I'm free, I might as well be good. You know, they're no, they're back to their. Well,
and you, but you had the guy that was innocent.
Right.
That comes back and is. Yeah. And then. A couple, you know, if you had you've had a guard come back
already, and then the brothers episodes from the past week or so.
Know, Sam's Neil's character,
I'm recording,
used to be
he was a guard,
but Sam he did he lived through that period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wasn't old. He wasn't abducted, quote abducted or you know whatever happened to them. He wasn't involved. He was off the island when the incident happened, so he was able to age and live his life. And then there is Jorge Garcia's character, who plays he's a comic book shop owner who's got a he's got a couple PhDs, and he's studied Alcatraz and the history and all the inmates. So he's brought in as kind of like the special consultant, so he can help track these guys, you know, once they're found. And it, I think it's a really interesting premise.
They're doing a good mix between a procedural and an excellent myths kind of show.
And I like, as a costuming hair kind of geek, I like how they're choosing actors and they're choosing to keep them kind of in that old style. Like, they really are, you know, they really do look like, you know, 60s actors. I think that's really cool.
I like, I watched episode 4 last night, I guess it was. And that, the guy that played, Flash Gordon in the Sci-Fi Channel
show. Seeing him is kind of creepy. And seeing Hoyt Fortenberry go crazy was a little weird. But he's got that classic look about him, too. He's got that kind of old actor look about him.
It's interesting. A little bit of trivia. Do you know who was originally, I guess, the part of the lead female was intended for?
No.
Katie Sackhoff.
No shit.
Really?
And then the hair makes sense.
And now the way she acts and it
I can totally
makes
see
a
that.
Lot of sense.
And she probably didn't do that because she was going to be on Powers. Is that right? She was going to be on Powers?
Not sure.
Or something.
Like that. And then Powers didn't get picked up. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Looking at this character, you could easily see Katie Sackhoff playing this character.
Oh, hell yeah. I do like Becca.
I do too.
She reminds me of Olivia.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
She's got a cool car.
She does.
That is the coolest car I've seen on a
girls never
show.
Get cool cars, and I was just excited that she got a cool car.
Freaking emerald green classic muscle car Mustang.
It's pretty badass.
Get wrecked at some point.
Yeah.
This show, and this is going to kind of lead into Fringe, this show would do well with being paired up with Fringe.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, take Fringe off of Fridays. And it's looking like it's going to get another season. Fringe, I mean.
I can very...
Possibly.
I hope so.
And you
Abel says possibility likely.
But you know how Warehouse 13 kind of crossed over into... Was it Eureka?
Yeah.
Eureka and Warehouse 13 have had, you know, crossovers. And then there was a very tentative crossover with Alphas.
That was the one I was thinking of. I could very easily see a little bit of a crossover between Fringe and Alcatraz. I could see Walter having a theory about what the hell happened to these people. Like, I mean,
it could be the universes.
I mean, I could definitely see a, like, even just a little bitty thing.
Do you think Alcatraz would, should, could do an Al Capone episode?
That might be jumping the shark.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think that might be.
Was he even in Alcatraz when they disappeared?
See,
it makes me, as a history geek, it makes me want to go back and look up in 63 who all was still.
Yeah.
And
are all of these, like, cases, are they based
on
actual
people?
Inmates? I don't think so.
I kind of doubt it. I think they're kind of making up their own.
Yeah.
That history on that.
Kind of cool, though.
They could easily do an episode where one of those inmates had dealings with Capone in the past and him in flashbacks.
Yeah. That's the kind
of thing
that
or like the Birdman of Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, but that's the thing too that I like about Alcatraz is the same thing I liked about Lost. How in these flashbacks, when you see them in 63, you see the different, each episode is another inmate. Mm-hmm. And I love how when you see flashbacks, when you see 63, you see them kind of cross paths. Yeah. It's that same thing in Lost that I loved, how all these strings kind of intertwine. And I just think that's cool.
As long as they don't start, you know, we're jumping forward and backwards, and that's fine. That's story. Yeah. As long as they don't start doing the damn flash sideways.
No, I think it's well done how they do the flashbacks. I like how the lights.
Oh, the jail, the jail bar transitions.
Yeah,
Those are cool.
Like the lighting is different. The texture. I mean,
the whole coloring.
It's well done.
And the keys, the whole mystery behind the keys,
and the guy who's not Doc Cottle is just fantastic.
Yeah, they really.
Yeah,
the doctor is fantastic.
Oh yeah,
why are they going to got the doctor that played Doc Cottle, the actor that played Doc Cottle on Battlestar Galactica? I mean, he is this character
brilliant.
On
totally
agree.
Totally
he got that cigarette hanging out over his mouth. And
totally agreed.
Well, it was the '60s. They didn't know it killed you back then.
Well, they knew it killed you. They just didn't care.
Yeah,
but there's that.
Oh,
I cut you off there. I'm getting ready to start on mine.
Well, you know, Fridays are so rough still because you've got Supernatural and Grimm and Fringe all at the same time.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's awful. But they need to separate those.
They do. Spread them out.
Yeah, spread them out. So that,
well, here, you know.
And then like, oh, they're not getting as good enough ratings.
Because
well,
we're all fighting for
it. Yeah, you've got one audience and you're trying to split it three ways.
Right. Well, it's very well possible two of those three may not be back next season. Or all three, really.
We want to talk about it.
I'm still enjoying Grimm.
It scares me.
Grimm is good.
And I both like it.
I do too. I like it a lot.
I have my doubts whether it'll get another season now.
I really hope it does. Why? But yeah.
Because Amy Acker can start
on it. Damn it.
Okay. All right.
I love her to death.
She doesn't bode well for Once taken. Upon a Time.
She's on my list of women, but man, I hate seeing her.
I hate seeing her.
It scares me.
I mean, let's rack up. Let's count the series
no,
here.
No, let's not.
Drive.
Okay. Check.
I can't really count Angel because Angel had a good run. Mm-hmm. Angel had a good run.
Okay.
They should have gone at least.
And she was on it for a while before it was canceled.
Okay. So we have Drive. Mm-hmm. We have Dollhouse. Mm-hmm. Let's see. And there's been a couple other ones. I can't think what the
hell been several.
Yeah. But
it scares me. But she was good on both of those shows.
She was really good on Grimm because you got to go. There were shades of Illyria in that character.
I want to keep this
on Once Upon a Time. It was pretty much all ditzy Fred.
She was adorable, and I love that she's a dancer to begin with. So I loved seeing her in her little tutu, and I like
on Once Upon a Time,
and the way she stood. You know, she walked like a dancer, and it was just cool to see her all dressed up and girly again.
Now I'm wondering if they get Summer Glau on the show, if the two will cancel each other out,
and it'll be on forever.
Because Summer Glau kind of has that curse as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The cape.
Yeah. That's true.
That's another show that did.
I liked that one too.
Yeah. I know it was bad. I really do. I know it. But
that's
damn it,
another
I
one that I'm really surprised that Sci-Fi didn't pick up.
That really strikes me as a Sci-Fi series. Mm-hmm. The Cape was really.
Yeah.
It was
see
camp.
That.
It would seem more of a sci-fi series, really, because it was it had a little cheese and dark
camp
to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a little campy.
I mean, how could you not like the his name?
Chess,
the ringleader.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, Keith David's character. Yeah. What was his name? I don't know.
Remember. He just had the greatest. But he has the greatest voice.
Oh yeah. So, but.
Where are you going? Okay, Grimm. Wrong tangent. Grimm.
Oh, jeez. Let's see.
See, we're all watching the same stuff, so it's easy to get off.
Justified.
Yes.
Justified. Still awesome.
Fire in the hole.
Oh, God.
It just keeps getting better.
And just got renewed.
Yes.
And just got renewed.
Although I was yelling at the TV
Are you caught up?
I'm caught up on Justified.
You're caught up on Justified?
Oh, yeah.
I was yelling at the TV
we're
yesterday.
We're all caught up, I think.
Because I hate Winona. I hate Winona. When she kept saying, "Am I stupid?" and I was yelling, "Yes, you're stupid!"
Every single time.
Well, because she kept repeating it.
I know.
So I had to keep answering her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Yes, you are stupid and selfish and ridiculous."
Just what was her line? The banter with those characters are great.
I love
like,
Elle.
toe
no,
bigger.
I got to take you downstairs. All right.
I took you downstairs. And Neil McDonald's character, Quarles.
Yeah.
Quarles. Yeah. He is scary.
He is scary.
In a lot of ways.
He was Tin Man, and now he's scary.
In all of the promos, they showed Raylan and Boyd like fighting side by side, and so I can't wait to see them fighting side by side to take down Quarles and Limehouse. Limehouse is another great character.
I like some character Limehouse.
He's amazing.
He's Bubba from Forrest Gump, and my brain just can't cope with that.
You didn't like the whole him sticking people's hands in.
Just to see him be all smarmy is just creepy.
But
it's
he's
cool.
Good.
Oh,
he,
I know
he pulled
it's
that
good.
Off real good.
But I just love Boyd and his sweater. When he's got the Mr. Rogers sweater on, he's just so freaking awesome. It's ridiculous.
He's great, isn't he?
He's probably fantastic. The best spoken character on there.
Oh my gosh, he's the best spoken criminal I've ever seen in my life.
And I kind of miss Arlo. I don't know where he's been in the past couple of episodes. I love Arlo for some reason. Arlo and Art, I think.
Although, I do feel bad that he's got dementia now. Whatever he's got going on. I feel bad, but I don't like him.
Yeah. I love that show. And it's the little things. It's the fact that they pronounce Louisville correctly. It's the fact that...
I'm sorry.
That at the end of season one, Raylan was drinking an L81.
Mm-hmm.
It's those little Kentucky touches that, like, you're like, they get it. This is a Kentucky show. It's pure Kentucky.
Makes me afraid to live here.
It kind of makes people scared to live here.
I don't want to drive through Harlem.
No, I don't.
Not to stop.
I don't.
The first season, I thought it was, too stereotypical of Kentucky. I had some issues with it, but it's gotten a lot better, a lot more authentic. And like I said, every season just gets better. But the first season, I was like, all right, Raylan's awesome. I didn't really care for the rest of the show. Boyd was okay. Mm-hmm. And then as second season, I was like, okay, Boyd kicks ass, and everything else has fallen into place. And now they keep introducing all these really interesting bad guys.
Yeah.
That normally I'm not rooting for the bad guys, but
they write them so well.
So interesting.
Yeah.
The best character on that show is the chief, though.
Art is fantastic.
I love in this last episode. I've loved it all along, but I love that Quarles has a family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and like he's got this whole scary racket going on, but like in one breath he's shooting a guy, and then the next breath he's talking to his kid about soccer practice, and like he's a very interesting character.
It's funny to see that actor playing that part because he's such a nice guy and such a religious family man that he wouldn't do like love scenes on some TV show they wanted him on because he was against that.
Wow.
And to see that he took this part and how dark this part is.
Yeah.
But then what he does with it, like you said, he does have the family and he's got so much depth. I'm sure it was too good a role to pass up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, something like that. I mean, he just came out of the Captain America movie. Remember, he was dumb in Captain America. Now here he is. He's on Justified.
And Tin Man. Like, he went from playing, like, a Raylan kind of character to playing the flip side of that coin. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And Timothy Oliphant, I haven't seen him on Deadwood because I haven't watched Deadwood.
Oh, you need to watch Deadwood because it's the same character.
I would love to watch Deadwood. Like, add it to the list after.
You're
going to
love it
after
so
Farscape.
Much.
Bring some blank DVDs over. We'll take care of you.
Once you desensitize yourself to the swearing, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's so brilliant.
Yeah, swearing doesn't bother me at all.
No, but like at first you're like, okay, every third word. Okay, come on. Come on, writers. What the hell? Like, the writers must have had some easy job because it's like every third word. Mm-hmm. But he's such a... Like, essentially, he's the ancestor of Raylan Givens. Mm-hmm. He's playing that same kind of... He's, like, he's on the right side of the law, but he's not afraid to walk the line.
With a dead squirrel on his lip.
With a dead squirrel on his lip. But it's cool. But I've yet, except
I
for...
I want that hat. Sorry, go on.
Except for the woman... the woman agent.
Yeah, we haven't seen her for the past couple
episodes. She's the only female character on that show that I have any respect for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody else.
She didn't take any.
I want to punch in the face. Like, I would love to punch Winona. You know, like I just.
She's
just awful. Well, I'm sorry, but you're cheating on your husband with your ex-husband. Okay. Granted, your husband was going to have you killed, but you didn't know that yet.
She does now.
She found out.
But I mean, like, she's going to steal this money and then she wants him to give up. I mean, like, he could have gotten caught and lost his job. She's a very unsavory kind of character, and I don't like her at all.
Well, you know, he did divorce her once already.
I know. So. I know.
He's done a good job of taking the classic Elmore Leonard dialogue and translating it to television.
I want to read the story.
It is based on, like, one story.
Well,
you know?
I mean...
Yeah. This is
a short story. Yeah.
Look at Haven.
This is crazy. Well, Haven.
Look at Haven. Haven's based on a short story.
Break that book out again.
I know. But I don't
Colorado
want to. I don't want to know what happens.
Well, no, they've already gone so far with Haven. Do you know if Haven's been picked up?
Please.
And they I'm pretty sure.
Because, I mean, it was strong for them.
Because I love them so much.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that it's picked up.
It's freaking Jesse from Buffy.
I know it is.
Duke.
Duke.
Oh, yeah.
He's like in the first two episodes of Buffy, and then
and they killed him off.
That's awesome.
But wow. It's good.
Anything else, man?
I'm trying to think. Oh, you know, it's not our normal type of show, but Face Off.
Oh. I was going to tell you, you'll be surprised of me. I watched an episode and a half yesterday. It was my first time ever watching any kind of Face Off. Because Sam Huntington was a guest judge on the one who plays not George.
Not George.
Not being human.
Josh or something?
Yes, okay. Josh. And like, oh, well, I'll see his little bit, and then I'll turn it off. Well, I got sucked in.
You
want
to see George's little bit?
Now I want to go back and watch them all, because it's just, like, it's fascinating.
It is. Mm-hmm. Carly and I, this is like our must-watch show.
I know, and I know
I don't watch game shows. Right. I don't like reality shows. I don't like any of that crap.
You're not downloading the tester on a PS3?
No.
What's that? What?
It's a game show. It's only on the PSN. Where the contestants tried to end the prizes to be like some money and then a job as a game tester.
Interesting.
Kind of cool. But you know, we got hooked on Face Off the first season, and we just have to watch it. I mean, we really get into it.
I want to go back and start from the beginning.
And we sit there and we talk about the characters and we critique every moment of it. We pay closer attention to this than Fringe.
Wow.
I mean, you know, we're really really into every moment of it.
It's really amazing. Like, just the stuff that in the episode that I watched, you know, yesterday, it was just neat. Like, you've got, like, I like to be creative, but I'm pokey about it. You know, I'll take 3 days to think about something.
Oh, yeah.
These people have, you know, 45 minutes to create a werewolf bite. And they come up with this amazing stuff. Yeah. It's
so it's like Top Chef for makeup artists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. I mean, it's fantastic, the stuff they come up with.
Yeah, the challenges and the time limits they have.
Yeah.
I
can't even imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah, especially since you've been through heavy makeup before.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I've done some minor appliance myself, but I've worn some heavy makeup. And
that was 6 hours or something to get you in all that.
Wow. Yeah. Is it the pinhead costume?
The pinhead.
God. Mm-hmm. Imagine.
Yeah.
It was
an experience. It was neat. You know, you hear about all these actors, you know, doing that, and you got to think that they do that every day.
Yeah.
Or for somebody having to sit in the makeup chair for all those hours. But yeah, it's quite a thing. We were doing Pinhead, and we put on the movies in the background. We're watching them.
That's cool.
Getting them.
Wow.
But Craig Engler for that Sci-Fi channel, the guy that tweets for Sci-Fi, he did something about Face Off today, and I saw the host, Mackenzie, on there, and I tweeted her and told her how I was a big fan of the show. I watched it from the beginning and can't believe there's only one episode left, and I'm kind of upset at that. But, hey, it's the finale. I can't wait to see the finale. And congratulated her on, you know, third season pickup already. And she tweeted me back, so that was pretty cool. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, I mean, it's got to be cheap for sci-fi, so.
You would think so. I mean, you know, they're, of course, now that they're giving away a car and $100,000 and like, what, $25,000 worth of makeup effects or something like that. So, yeah, they're getting a pretty nice payoff. Not only that, but they're, you know, they're getting exposure.
They're giving the people, they're giving the people on the show more of a budget than half their movies. Bless them.
Quite a few of them.
Bless them. I like them anyway, though.
I'm interested in seeing what this Monster Man's going to be like, too. Have you seen those commercials?
Yeah.
It's going to debut, the pilot of that debuts after the finale of Face Off this upcoming week.
Okay.
So is it another reality show?
Yeah, it's sort of a reality show. It's this guy and his daughter, and they make monster movie characters. You know, they make suits and animatronic things.
Wow.
And like one thing I saw him working on in the little preview teaser thing was the two-headed shark from the movie Two-Headed Shark Attack by The Asylum.
Wow.
You know, so he makes a giant full-size two-headed shark that has to be able to get in the water and go around and do things.
Wow.
And, you know, so it's going to not be the contest with a lot of people or anything, but it's going to really show you the behind the scenes
how they do
of
it.
Making the movie monsters. And I think it could be pretty
cool. That sounds
cool.
Interesting. Yeah, I would probably watch that.
That's more in line with sci-fi than, wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah.
That crazy kind of crap. now, I know, you know, you haven't been able to watch a whole lot because of work schedule and all that, Glenn, but I know that there's one show that all four of us watch and are all caught up on. And
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
I want Majel Barrett to say spoiler alert.
She's kind of dead.
I know.
Yeah.
But The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Now, okay, if you're not caught up, now of course by the time this actually goes out, you'll have another week or two. But we're recording this on...
Go watch it now. Turn all the lights on and go watch it now.
We're recording this on March 9th at 9:50 p.m. that is the timestamp. So if you haven't watched any episodes that have aired up to that point, if you're caught up to that point, then you're fine. If you haven't, go get caught up because we're going to spoil the shit out of this.
And then come back.
Yeah. As of this recording, the last episode that was aired was called Judge, Jury, and Executioner. If you have not seen that, don't listen any further. If you have, join along.
Okay, and what is the lesson to take away from this episode? Don't poke zombies with sticks.
They are going so far, well, not so far away from the comic book now, but before I, well, before we kind of delve into this. So when Frank Darabont was fired as showrunner, there was a rumor going around that one of the actors walked off the set and asked to be released from their contract.
Oh.
Now, people speculated that it was John Bernthal, who plays Shane.
Mm-hmm.
After this last episode, Judge, Jury, and Executioner, I think it's Jeffrey DeMunn. Jeffrey DeMunn's been in a lot of Frank Darabont stuff.
I see.
And I think he's the one who walked off the set and asked to be released from his contract.
I see.
After Frank Darabont was fired. If that's the case, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm up to the 8th trade in the series.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm aware, Dale's still alive in my universe.
Yeah.
And the way that he
was awful,
and it shocked me. It really did. I was like, okay, safe. What?
I really liked him. He was the conscience of the group.
And now, even more of a reason to hate Carl.
I hate Carl.
From
if you see a zombie stuck in the mud.
Here's my thing.
Point, laugh, and then walk the fuck away.
If I had a child, he would not leave my sight if there were zombies. I'm sorry. I don't care if you think you're safe on your farm.
Mm-hmm.
I would not let my child out of my sight.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that zombie farm's crop was ready.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing, though. Okay. So with the third season, there's been a whole lot of hullabaloo about the part of the governor being cast for The Walking Dead. And if you've read the comic, you know what kind of shit the governor brings to the story.
I'm so excited. I can't even tell
there, you. There's a novel out, and I haven't read it, but it's called The Rise of the Governor.
Ooh.
I might have to pick that up.
I think it's called something with the governor. Yeah, there's a Walking Dead hardback. I think maybe I'm trade paperback now.
Ooh. Field trip. Not to Borders. Mm-hmm. Borders is closed.
But, yeah, so if you've read the comic book, you know that the governor is...
He is
a badass and an evil son of a bitch.
I'm so excited.
And the character
sounds like a real governor.
Oh yeah. And the actor who's going to be playing him is Doctor Who alumni David Morrissey. So
I don't see David Morrissey as a governor.
You've
though.
Not seen Blackpool. You've got to see.
Personally,
Blackpool.
I wanted to see Tom Savini as the governor.
Who's that? Mm-hmm.
Wait, Tom Savini is a makeup artist. He was in From Dusk Till Dawn. He was Sex Machine.
Yes.
He would have been perfect as the governor.
Yeah.
He was just on an episode of Face Off, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, he was a judge on Face Off.
But with this group that they encountered two episodes ago now, when they were in the bar and the two guys walked in and Rick
Renee
had to shoot them.
From True Blood.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And now Randall, this guy that they're taking care of.
I don't like him.
Well, first off, he's lying through his teeth.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
you know, he's going to be, you know, a problem.
They should have just put one in his head when he was impaled on the fence.
Yeah,
well, they can't,
though,
or at least I don't think they will until the season finale, if at all, because it's my theory that he's part of the governor's group. And I think that we're going to hear the governor's name, at least, being mentioned before the end of the season.
See, here's my... I come from the background where I knew virtually nothing about the universe. Mm-hmm. I didn't read the comic. Sorry, Scott. I didn't read the comic like I was recommended to read. Mm-hmm. And I had no knowledge of it whatsoever. So it's all new to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a different kind of perspective. Like, I don't have anything to expect.
Right.
You know? So I'm excited to be along for the ride.
Now, well, you see, okay, the death is not going to stop, though.
Well, of course not. Nothing good ever happens.
No, it
nothing good ever happens.
Nothing good ever happens.
I want her to have a zombie baby in the worst way.
Well,
I'm kind of torn on the whole, all right, if I read the comic, mm-hmm. I want something to be true to the comic.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if you do something like kill off a character like that, mm-hmm. it keeps it fresh for the people.
Right.
So I'm kind of torn. Is that good or bad?
They are doing, I liked it. In a lot of ways, they're staying very true to the tone of the comic. Mm-hmm. They're doing pretty good with that.
Well, mm-hmm. it's like True Blood. Like, I've read all the books. And it's so far
off. True Blood's all kinds of
fucked up. It's so far off the map. But exactly. I mean, like, even though I should know what's going to happen... Mm-hmm. It's gone so far off the map that it's all new to me. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, there are storylines and characters that never existed in the books that are new to me. So there's not so much like being spoiled because it's all.
And, of course, bringing True Blood back around to The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one of the characters that comes up in that storyline with the governor
mm-hmm.
is a character of Michonne.
Michonne. And I'm pretty sure she's going to be introduced before the end of the season, but that's just my theory.
Which, of course... On one hand, we'd like to see Gina Torres.
Because she's awesome.
Gina's Torres kicking zombie ass would be awesome.
Could you imagine?
She's a little too old to play the character of Michonne.
I think
it needs to skew a little younger. Mm-hmm. And the actress that plays Tara
on
True Blood would probably be pretty damn good. Because Michonne goes through some shit, and Tara's been through some shit.
I can see that totally. I just want to see her dragging her boyfriend, dragging, you know, that person behind her. That's all I want to see. Sorry, didn't mean to spoil that.
No, so you're
what she does with the governor and the nail and the... Okay.
Yeah. I want to see that.
There one or two episodes left this season?
There's two.
Yeah.
Okay.
But one of the things that I really love about this show is that... So many demographics of people watch it. For example, okay, the girl who cuts my hair watches it. And she's the type of personality who would normally you wouldn't think would watch this kind of show. She's the young party girl type, you know, cute.
Jersey Shore.
Kind of Jersey, well, no, well, you know, that kind of personality.
If you were
yes.
assuming, yeah.
Exactly, which is kind of one of the reasons why I'd go to her. Anyway, so we tend to talk about The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Because she likes it, and she's like, oh my God, this show is so crazy, it can't get any more intense, oh my God, and I'm just sitting wait. There, I'm just going, you're adorable. that's just hilarious. but, and just, like, if they do it correctly, well, okay, if they do it as they do in the book, the next season is going to be a tough one for a lot of people to watch. And in particular, Brad, you know what I'm talking about. When the climax of The Governor happens, that's going to be tough for a lot of people to watch.
It's going to be rough.
It's going to be very rough. So, you know, I mean, like, do you think that they will go that far with everything? Do you think they'll kind of scale it back? Like, I think that AMC back. Will
I don't
them
see
do.
Them going as far with Rick.
Yeah.
At least with one thing that happens
Poor
to
Rick.
Rick.
God bless him.
I don't see them doing that. Just for the sheer logistics of it.
Mm-hmm.
Zombie baby, come on.
I'm not going to tell you.
She's pregnant and annoying. Give her a zombie baby.
we're just like,
where do
don't
you go
look,
from here?
Don't look. But,
no, I don't know. She's all right. I just
no, she's not.
She gets on my nerves.
Zombie baby would be awesome.
She gets on my nerves.
It could deliver itself. Just eat its way out.
Oh, that would be awesome.
A la Bella. Come on, do it.
yeah, I just, like, okay. All right. Kind of what you were saying, Glenn, though, is that it's good that they are deviating from the comics because for people who have read it, okay, if they stuck straight to the comic continuity, it wouldn't be any surprises for the people who have read it. Mm-hmm. Like, when Dale bit it, I was shocked. Mm-hmm. Because I kept on thinking about all those little storylines down the road that they're not going to have anymore.
Yeah.
Unless they bring in a similar kind of character.
Do you think they'll bring in Tyrese? Sorry.
I mean, it was gross.
Oh, they'll bring in Tyrese at some point, I'm sure.
I mean, it's all gross. But I mean...
Yeah.
God, and they're all
it's cool
calling,
gross.
No, but they're yeah. all calling for the doctor, and you know there's no coming back from that. Even if they could stitch him back up, he would die of sepsis. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well,
it was awful.
But Dale's death does one thing, because for the past few episodes, Dale's been talking about how the group is broken.
It'll bring them all together.
How it's fractured, yeah. And Dale's death will bring the group back together to a point, and they will move on. I just want... two things to happen.
Carl taught you a rock?
Before the end of the season.
Sorry.
Carl's stuck in the mud with the zombie throwing rocks at him.
Yes.
That would be kind
of
cool.
I believe the children of the future. And, you know, if you kill him, what do you got?
She's pregnant.
Yeah. She's got another one.
I want to see them at least find the next place that they go to. Right. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I want to see them at least view it or at least head off towards that place. And also, I want to see or hear Rick say his famous line from the book. We are the Walking Dead. It's us. We are the Walking Dead. Because like you said, it's not about the zombies. It's about the survivors and about how humans are so much worse.
I kind of introduced my dad to it when I was up there and, he's into sci-fi. He loves, you know, the sci-fi channel, and he's into zombies and monsters and stuff. But I don't think he was quite prepared for the gross factor in a series.
Mm-hmm.
And he's watching it, and he's watching the dynamic of the characters, and he's watching, and he goes, this is some sick shit. I kind of like this. So I think he's gonna go back and watch him from the beginning now, and I can just
that's right, they got Netflix, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yep. So I think it'll be like you said, it's people that you wouldn't expect to watch it and like it are watching and liking it because it's not about the zombies. It's about these people who are thrown together in this impossible situation that 9 times out of 10, they're not going to make it out of. And how do you cope on a day-to-day basis? How do you cope?
You know, Mom, when people have been saying this season's been slow.
Oh, my God.
And
I don't see that.
It's like, well...
I mean, just because they're in one place and there's not zombie attacks every single episode doesn't make it slow.
It's because they got their budget slashed.
Exactly. No, they're building towards something, and they're building towards this thing very well. It's steady, and they're teasing some things, and you know what I'm talking about. They're teasing some things very well, and I'm just like, ooh, like, you're doing this so well.
See, I think there's a difference between action and emotional tension. Mm-hmm. Like, people, if you're into action, you're going to think anything like emotionally tense is slow. But mm-hmm. if you're into character development, mm-hmm. I don't see the season as slow at all, because it's more about the characters and mm-hmm. the little things that make them snap and make them cry and make them freak out. And Sophia, mm-hmm. oh my mm-hmm. God.
That last 10 minutes just was some of the best 10 minutes of television
in
this past year. That was mm-hmm. so intense. And Shane's little speech, it actually kind of got me on his side a little bit. You know, these are the things that killed Amy. They killed Otis, and they are not going to stop, and we have to do this now.
See, I'm torn between wanting to tie him to a rock and shaking his hand. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like he's so, like she says, that I don't disagree with how, like, the things that you're thinking, but the way you're going about it needs to be tweaked.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Shane is just, I mean, he's batshit insane anyway.
Oh, my God.
And
he cannot be any further different than
his character on the class. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, and and the way that John Bernthal is playing crazy Shane, it was that slow buildup, and you kind of saw it creeping out of the corners of his mind, and then with this past episode, with the full-blown fight between him and Rick,
he kind of
was just, it was amazing. I loved it.
He kind of reminds me of Bill Pullman in Torchwood, that mm-hmm. he plays this simmering kind of insane, mm-hmm. and you can see it in his eyes. And as an actor, like, I'm wondering, not me as an actor, but me, like, seeing him as an actor, how do you get to that place where it's all in the eyes? Like, mm-hmm. you can see that something is very broken inside his head, and he's playing it so well.
I'd like to give a shout out to Greg Nicotero, who directed that latest episode.
Mm-hmm. My God.
Wasn't he also the zombie that killed Dale?
Get out.
That's what I heard. That was a rumor.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if that's true or not. I thought I heard something about that on The Talking Dead.
He's a great guy. He's been to a Wonderfest a few times.
Really?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Very.
And he's worked on, you know, the old Romero movies and stuff, and really worked his way up. He's one of the executive producers. He's the head of the, the makeup mm-hmm. department on Walking Dead, and this was his big directorial
debut.
Well,
he did a good job.
That's a hell of an episode.
Yeah.
It's like the Tara gets shot episode of Buffy.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The scene from a couple of episodes back with the zombie trying to get to Lori.
Oh, in the car.
In the car, and like the mm-hmm.
the giving
zombie
birth.
Like stretching. What? I'm sorry, go on.
The kind of the whole giving birth scene.
It was disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh my God, exactly. It was gross.
Yeah. Like putting his face through the windshield and just that skin getting torn off by the glass. Mm. Yeah. Oh, it was some of the best gore I've seen on that show. It was awesome. I loved it.
Crazy. Well, we have been geeking a while on some TV, and I know there's probably a couple of series that you two want to talk about, mm-hmm. but let's take a break, and we'll come back to that in another segment. But I want to end on one thing I was looking up while you guys were mm-hmm. Talking about here. It is Walking Dead, The Rise of the Governor.
Okay, cool.
And
the Governor.
For those of you that are not readers but are more the listening type, which we thank you for downloading Vibe Culture, it is available on Audible.
Nice.
Really?
Yes.
Who is it read by?
It's read by Fred Berman.
Don't know who
that is, but
one
yes.
of their narrators. So it's unabridged.
Nice.
About 10-plus hours,
that's,
I think.
That's good.
Yeah. Use the free podcast.
Almost 11 hours.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. If you go to audibletrial.com/podculture, you can make that your Audible pick and get it for free.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
awesome.
Let's take a break, and we will be back with more Pod Culture right after this.
There once was a star of a sitcom who increasingly acted insane. Perhaps it was due to his ego, or a suitcase jam-packed with Coach Charlie Sheen. Sober and clean, fine human being, our friend Charlie Sheen. He partied with beautiful women. Indeed, they were certainly lookers. As to what these girls did for a living, they were probably porn stars or Charlie Sheen. Sober and clean, fine human being, that man Charlie Sheen. No matter how bad were his actions, the network would give him a pass. But then he badmouthed his producer, and now they may fire his Charlie Sheen. Sober and clean, fine human being, our friend Charlie Sheen. He wanted a raise from the network, even though he was already rich. And now when we see him on talk shows, we say, look, it's that son of a Martin Sheen, head of the Sheens, father of he who we call Charlie Sheen. The psycho behavior of Charlie, no longer considered a quirk. It's time that he gets some assistance, so we won't have to bury that Charlie Sheen. Sober and clean, fine human being, that man Charlie Sheen. And now, folks, the gossip is ended. If you want more, you're out of luck. If you think he's being rear-ended, you can go take a big flying Charlie Sheen. Sober and clean, fine human being, our friend Charlie Sheen.
It is time to rot our teeth once again with a little geek cuisine. And,
Right, just your toothbrush.
Yes, yes. Just the three of us. You know, I'm Brad.
I'm Christina.
I'm Adam.
Yeah, just the three of us sitting in. And what have you got over there?
I've got Charms Fluffy Stuff.
I like
spiderweb cotton candy. Not entirely sure where the spiderweb comes in.
I don't know.
You know,
we didn't get it that long ago. It's not like it was a Halloween thing.
I don't see
thing.
Any cobwebs on it. No. So thank you.
Yeah, I think it was like the dollar thing at Target or something.
Yeah, it wasn't even that long ago. Because I'm always excited to buy cotton candy.
It's like pure sugar, so
I like how they call it angel floss in England.
Called the what?
Angel floss.
Look, angel floss.
It looks like insulation to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It's pretty much, insulation.
Looks like blown insulation.
Don't care, I'd eat it.
there you go.
It does. It looks like cotton batting or something, you know?
Oh, it smells good. What is it supposed to smell? What is it supposed to
be? Sour apple is the flavor.
I get that.
All right.
I'm kind of getting that a little bit, too.
This is my favorite kind of cotton candy because it doesn't have a color.
Green.
Yeah. Like, whenever I would go to the drag strip with my dad, because we used to go to the drag strip, and I'd always pick yellow because it was like...
Oh, my!
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Talk about sour.
Oh, wow. Man.
Brad just stuffed a big old wad of it in his face. Good. I had taken a little bit of a bite before, and I had to let him
do
it.
Oh, isn't that good, though?
Oh, yeah,
it's good.
It's
wow.
Really good, but oh, my God.
Unexpected
that'll,
kick.
That'll make your butt pucker.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but it's good. Twitch.
Oh,
but it's good.
It'll make your face contort, but oh, it's so good.
That is awesome. Glenn's going to be disappointed he missed out on this one.
No.
This is the best cotton candy I think I've ever had.
I'll second that.
I think I will third that one.
Oh, my God.
The flavor. There's so much flavor to it.
I mean,
it's insane.
Charms, I'm not a huge fan of the blow pops.
Love blow pops. As a matter of fact, those taste like a charm sour apple blow pop.
Wow.
So it goes up your nose.
What do you inhale it when you, you know, you take that first bite and you know, you have a little in your mouth and the shock just makes you gasp and then you inhale that shit into your
lungs.
Even
your fingers. Oh my gosh. It's like,
pass more of that shit over here, man.
Wow. My nose itches now. Brilliant.
Oh, man.
Cotton candy is a guilty pleasure and it's just so good.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking for this.
Get on Amazon. They have all kinds of stuff.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What kind of flavors do they have?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Hell if I know. This is just one we saw like, oh, okay. Yeah. Check out the bag.
Wow. In the front of Target, you know how they always have that little aisle or two of dollar stuff?
Yeah.
They always have weird candy.
Damn, and I was in there today.
I don't think they've had it in there for a little while.
It hasn't been that long, it's not been too recent.
Woo.
But, that's good.
That's tasty stuff, man.
Wow.
So, yeah, keep an eye out, maybe towards more Halloween.
Probably.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for Charms.
Charms fluffy stuff, spiderweb cotton candy.
I'm betting they found a box of it in the back and just
probably
decided to sell it.
Well, I mean, this cotton candy is not going to have an expiration date.
Oh, no,
really.
Not at all.
Fat-free, sodium-free, cholesterol-free.
9,000 grams of sugar.
Yeah.
Definitely not sour-free because, whoo, that'll make you clench.
That's really good, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, this is
30 grams of carbs, 30 grams of sugar.
For how much?
Servings per container, 2.
That's not bad.
That's not
bad at all.
120 calories.
That's not bad.
That is really not bad at all.
For solid sugar.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, cotton candy. Aww. It's what, the sour apple from Charms?
That's it. Get it.
Look for it because it is a freaking amazing.
You would not
do
be
it
fine.
And stuff it in your face.
Hey guys, this is Brad. This is where we take a little bit of a break. Remember, Pod Culture is a podcast that's recorded every other week, split into two parts, and then sent down the podcast feed weekly. So tune in again, same time next week, for another geek-filled episode of Pod Culture.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us, feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.
Don't adjust your pod. Get fuck! I was going somewhere
keep
with
it.
That and that was
keep
good.
Keep it, keep it, keep it.
What do you mean, keep it? That opening sucked. We're back with another episode of Pod Culture. I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
I'm tired.
I'm all Justin.
Right. All right, Let's do it again.
No.
Let's do it again.
Keep it.
Do it again.
All right, do it again.
Well, keep it, but do it again.
Okay.
Keep that one as a needle scratch.